Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Today, we're talking vision. We're talking fasting. We're talking kicking off our year strong, kicking off our year ready to have God do all that we're believing for him to do. I'm here with Pastor Jess.
Hey
Pastor
everyone. Jess. Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
We are early in 2026, depending on when you're watching this. But we are still talking about our vision. Last week on the podcast, we had Pastor Dan. Now, this year was very cool for our church. We had, as we brought out the vision in Vision Weekend, you and Pastor Dan both brought a thought and a message.
Yeah.
And so we heard from Pastor Dan last weekend, and we wanted to talk
right.
to you about that. But just before we jump all the way in, how was your end of the year? How's your new year? What are some resolutions that you got going on?
Well, you know, I was exhausted by the end of the year. It was like sliding into home, you know. So feel rested finally. And but resolution, I don't do resolutions.
Okay.
Because I feel like I break them.
Yeah.
Like
they're
almost meant to be broken.
But
I like goals.
Mm.
So it's a goal of mine.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
like Yeah, I have some goals. Like, I want to get back down to, obviously, a weight that I don't want to have buy new clothes. stupid things like that.
Yeah, of course.
I want to be more intentional with helping my adult children this year in their decisions for their futures. Because mm-hmm. they're kind of, I have two, like, on the cuff of, like, what is God doing in their lives for their in their future. And then I have a 16-year-old this year. I can't believe he's 16. And
That's
so... I'm really looking to his future and setting him up for college and stuff like that because, he's telling us he wants to be a doctor, and I don't know what to do with that. So if anybody out there wants to help us out with like what that looks like, you know, we're part of a pastor's family, so we've never done this before. So really just that, and then the vision of the church, doing so many incredible things for the kingdom and excited about ministry. I'm excited about ministry this year. I am. And
it's
God's already been moving in our services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's already been wonderful.
Yeah.
Just watching God do things in people's lives is amazing to me.
So, you know, we close out a year on strength. That was the word, the vision. And maybe you can give us some insight on, you know, again, I understand we use a lot of Christianese and we don't even realize we're saying it. But when we talk about a vision for the year or a word for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us a little bit more explanation, like layman's terms, of what that could look like and how every day we can apply these things into
Absolutely.
Our life?
Absolutely. So, you know, just the way that since Pastor Dan has been the senior pastor, it's kind of taken over in a simple way. If you know Dan, he's simple. He actually is deep, but he has that teacher blessing on him to be able to break it down so simply. And so it's always been a word. So there was grace, there was peace, there was what was the last one? Strength.
Strength,
And so honestly, every year I've been just focusing on that one word. It almost makes it simple for me to be able to focus on and like, okay, God, I need your grace. Like I'm losing my composure. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I need the grace of God. What does that mean? And then I go back to the messages. I go back to the scriptures that we've been hearing about all year. So, and then the next year, peace, like, okay, peace, I'm really angry. And I have this, you know, I come from a family that are Italians and we're hotheads. And so everybody just, you know, has our opinion
like
and we tell each other. And we're just, like, you're stupid. And that's just how it is. Sorry. You know? So I've had to learn how to calm myself down and bring peace into my life and not just say what I'm thinking and all of those things. And that was the year of peace for me. It was very good and a structured year that I was being trained by the Holy Spirit. And then this last year was strength. And I have to tell you, man, it was such a good year. I look back and I think it was a good year because I was still in mourning of my dad. And I would say still working through that at times. But the strength of God I had to learn. And there was just one day for me. It was in November. We were like really stacked with all the things that were coming down our pike with year-end stuff, Christmas. I'm like Mrs. Christmas around here. So I had to, you know, have a vision and have a plan and have all the answers. And I was just so sick of having to make decisions. And I went to the Lord in my alone time and he said, you're not praying for yourself. And I was like, no, I'm praying for this person and that person and our church and the people. He said, but you're not praying for you. And it was like a moment. And I was like, well, God, I feel kind of selfish praying for myself. I don't know how to pray for myself. And he said, you're not even asking me for strength. Like it's freely yours, but you don't ask me for it. And I was like, oh my goodness. And he goes, and add courage onto that. Because you need to be courageous in your decisions. And it was like, oh my goodness. And so every day from that point on, I was praying over myself.
Yeah.
And I was praying strength and courage, strength and courage, strength and courage over Dan, strength and courage over me. I got through the end of that year, honestly, by the power of God and the grace of God in his strength, not mine, because I was weak, I was tired. But in his strength, he makes us strong, right? Like in our weakness, we are strong. And that's what that verse was. So into the new year, I took that in.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. Every day, I'm still pulling on that strength.
Well, I want to pull something out of there. We didn't plan on this, but I just, you know, so clearly when you talked about, I think about our listeners and viewers, many of them, you know, they're taking the time to watch an extra message, an extra podcast. And again, we always thank you. But they might be in that same place where they feel alone in that. Like they are leading. Mm-hmm. They're not the only ones, but they're the ones like they feel the weight of doing the extra. I'm coming to church. I'm trying to get my extra work. I'm believing for my family. I'm hearing for everyone else. I don't get to pray for and then I feel guilty. So maybe you could walk through what you learned in that season of just being able to, because that can sound like a weird concept, right? Pray for myself, believe for myself. Mm-hmm. When all you are doing is pouring out and you're the selfless one, but.
Yeah, I know there are some out there that like maybe you're the only Christian in your family and you're having to believe God for all of your unsaved family or whatever the case may be. You can find yourself in so much prayer for other people that you forget to pray for yourself. And I believe that that's where I was missing it, that I was asking God to strengthen the church and to strengthen the people in the church that were broken and strengthen, you know, those in the hospital and strengthen the families that have lost somebody that last year. But I wasn't praying for me. Mm-hmm. And I was finding myself crabby. I was finding myself like even questioning, like, where are you, God? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's very real. That's a very real place to be.
Yeah.
And it was in the time spent with him, just in that alone moment, that he was able to speak to my heart and say, you're not doing what I've already have for you. You have to ask. You know, Matthew says, ask and you shall receive. Right. And so many times I think, I think the more that you become a Christian, the more that you learn about the things of God. I think when you're a new Christian, you're kind of like asking God for everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want this and this and this and this. But I think like what God was showing me was that as you get deeper with him, you actually feel almost selfish, or you don't want to be conceited, or you don't want to feel like it's me, me, me. Mm-hmm. But God tells us to love our neighbor. So it's for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord has really worked this end of this last year to show me how important I still am to him.
Yeah, that's good. I know I do that. I'm like, oh God, you know, if I could now, like you come so like, if I could just, and it's as if we're not one of his kids too.
Yeah. And I think for us as pastors, especially because we hear every horror story and especially in San Bernardino, like it's not, and then like, seriously, I talk to other people in other areas and like, oh my gosh, we deal with none of this stuff. Yeah. But like, we hear horror story after horror story. And when I say horror, like tragic traumas. Right. Yeah, our people are going through hard, heavy things. Mm-hmm. And then they tell us, and it's like our hearts go out to them. So then when you hear someone else's story, you're like, mine is nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, why would he even bother God with that?
I can't even, exactly.
You know, like, there's people dying in Iran. There's these Christians in Nigeria are all being murdered, and I'm going to ask God to, like, heal my heart because somebody hurt me. Yeah, you know?
Very real.
And I feel like the Lord was really ministering to me, like, I can do both.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all of it.
Yeah.
That's my omnipresence. That's my omniscient power.
Yeah, that's so
and
good.
You're not bringing that into your life because you're putting your worldly and humanly understanding on my power. That's and so you good. Can't do that. And it was like, oh, forgive me, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had this dream. I did ask God at the end of last year. I want to have dreams and visions. Like, amen. I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
Dan's the type of person that can read a book and understand it completely. I have to read the book 3 times. So it's really annoying to me. And I don't know why my brain is that way. It's just, I'm not that person. And so it's a miracle that I study the word of God and that I preach. It's a miracle. Every time I get up there, it's a miracle. And so as I am looking at these things, the Lord is like ministering to me. So he's like, I said to God, can you just give me dreams and visions? Like, I want to see what you mean by stuff. And he has given me some prophetic visions.
Amen.
And there was this one night that I was in bed. I think it was like 12:55. I remember waking up and looking at the clock. And you know, here in California, we get earthquakes.
Yeah.
The whole house sounded like, you know, when we can hear the ground rumbling before it actually shakes. If you're from California, you know that. If you're not, don't be freaked out by it. It's very normal for us. So we just kind of go, oh, brace for impact. Like, you know, and I didn't even get out of bed. I was like, whatever. I'm just going to ride this thing out in my bed. So I'm in bed. And honestly, this hail started hitting the doors. And I have like glass doors in my bedroom. And it's hitting the doors. And so heavy. It's so intense. And then the rain, I could hear the rain just like crashing. I'm like, oh my goodness. And it reminded me of storms, like when I lived in Oklahoma when I went to Bible college. And I mean, that is like a whole nother level of rain and snow. And so it was happening. And I'm laying in bed like, oh my goodness. So I'm shaking Dan. Like, Dan, do you hear that? It's like, I hope the kids are okay. I think I might go down and check on them. Like, and I was just like, Dan did not move. Now, Dan wakes up all the time. If the dog licks too loud, he's like, Lizzie, be quiet, and throwing her off the bed, you know? And I'm just like, why is Dan not waking up? And so in that moment, I heard God. I go, God, is this you? And I felt like, you know, that Bible story. Is that you, God, when the wind like blows, you know? And then he says to me, he says, that's me. And I go, okay. And then thunder and lightning. I got out of bed and I looked and there was like thunder and lightning everywhere. I look on my phone because we have ring cameras all around our house. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's real.
Yeah.
Like, this is not me in a dream. Like, this is like literally, because I felt like I was the only person in this. Right. Like, why is nobody else hearing this? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I got back in bed. He said, get in bed. And I was like, okay. So I got back in bed and I'm laying in bed and it all just stopped. And he goes, I want you to remember my power.
Wow.
That I do that. I take care of it. And that I am bigger than anything you will ever go through. And I was just like, yes, sir, I get it. Like, because I think we can forget that God's for us. Mm-hmm. Like, we think he's for everyone else, but he's actually also for us.
Yeah.
And that even though people are going through traumatic, horrible things, that even your little thing is important to God.
That's so good.
And he was teaching me that lesson. I believe in that. And I have held on to that. And when I woke up in the morning, I asked everybody, did you guys hear? And it was all wet outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back on the ring and even like they looked on the ring too. And they were like, no, it was really during 1255. It was like a torrential little storm. And then it went away. And so I think God just allowed me to be in a moment.
Yeah. That's
it
so
was
good.
Very crazy. Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, I thank you for your transparency there, Pastor Jess. I know that was kind of a little bit of a segue, but I know that, again, as you brought it up, it's like there's people that feel that way. And so you sharing is really, I'm sure, helpful. Helpful to me, too, because it's like it's those little things and it doesn't take away from him. But I do want to get us back on track in terms of where we were talking about. And that really does reiterate the setup of strength as we go into the vision and the word for this year.
Yeah. Increase.
So increase. What does that look like? What again, because you and Pastor Dan both brought, I would say, two sides of the same coin to really lay out the vision for us to, as a church, but also we talked about this last week, take that word for ourselves into our own lives, our own families.
Yeah. So increase, when I was getting that word, he got freedom and he got all this. And then we ended up in the Jabez prayer, which we'll be doing a series on it pretty soon after we get over Ruth. And not get over Ruth, but get through Ruth because she's awesome.
Yeah.
But we're doing a series on Wednesday. We're so over her. And so as we get into it, we'll go deep into it. But I do believe that it was kind of like what the Lord was showing me to pray over myself. Yeah. I'm now adding the Jabez prayer my request for myself. So I'm praying courage, I'm praying strength, and I'm praying God will bless me and that his hand will be with me and that I will not cause pain and that he will keep me from evil. These are all in that Jabez prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that over myself every day.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think I could get through a day without it. And I'm like, how did I do this before? How did I not pray for myself?
Yeah.
And so it's not a selfish prayer. It's a prayer of protection. It's a prayer of power. Mm-hmm. It's a prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. It's a prayer of increase.
Yeah.
Because in order to move forward and do something extravagant for the kingdom of God, we are going to need the power of God working in our lives, working through us to do these things. And so I would say that. And then as the Lord began to minister to me about increase, the Lord was like, it's not about the money. It's not about what the world would say increase looks like, you know, oh, okay, those believing for a husband, you know, oh, Lord, give me a husband, that's increase, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't ask for it, so ask
for
it.
No, I get it. Yeah, no.
But what I am saying is God wants us to get a bigger picture of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's good.
And that he wants to increase the kingdom of God in us so that we have a big picture, an eternal picture, that we're not looking at just our moment of tragic things that are happening or the world around us, but we're able as Christians to have the discernment of God, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, which Pastor Dan's going to probably get into with the Holy Spirit series. Yeah. When we have that discernment and we're hearing the voice of God and we're asking for the increase, we're asking for new territory, we're asking for these things, guess what happens? God is then like, yeah, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Yeah.
I can give you that because I can trust you with it, because we're there and we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. And so I believe God wants to grow the kingdom in us this year. I think that we, our thinking can be very cultural, very surrounded by like maybe whoever we're with, like whoever your friend groups are, or what's your influence, or who are you watching the most on Instagram or TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it gives you the algorithms and you're like only watching that. I find myself annoyed with that. I'm like, I don't want to only watch this. Yeah. I want cute animals. Why do I always have to have stupid political crap? It's like, can I say crap on a podcast?
Yeah, you can. It'll bleep. We'll bleep it later. No, I'm kidding.
And sorry, we're from California. And so that is where, like, I think like we have to understand our influence. God wants our influence not to be those things,
right,
but to be more him, more his word, which will build the kingdom in us, and it will come out of us, because what we put in will pour out.
Yeah.
And that we're going to be able to give advice to people according to kingdom. We're going to be able to see things with our finances according to kingdom, no longer fear and dread over what I do not have or what I have always been told I'm only going to live up to or whatever. Yeah. But how about like the principle of generosity, like the law of sowing and reaping? These are things that God does not go against.
Come on. Right.
And they're kingdom principles that when we learn them and we catch them and we get them and we live by them, our whole life changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people say, well, Pastor Jess, you and Pastor Dan are rich. And it's like, well, I think from our area, yes, you would think we're rich. But you drive an hour away, I ain't rich. Like, I'm middle class, very middle class. And it's just, you know, and I'm okay with that. I think that's a very worldly mind.
Yeah.
But when I was talking to the Lord about it, because I'm actually going into Ecclesiastes with the AM girls, and it's talking about our money.
Yeah.
And the Lord was like, you're not rich, you're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's right. Every need that I have need of, he takes care of. Yep. I look back and I think, that's because I learned the law of what God talks about.
Right.
And I do it. And I'm a tither. And I'm a generous. I look for ways to be generous. Like, I have a savings account so I can be generous.
Yep.
Not for my vacation, but for my generosity.
Yeah.
And so I think that God says, well, then I can give you more, right?
Right.
So I'm talking about money, but that goes with relationships. That goes with every part of our life. And so I think kingdom wants to grow in us this year. Yeah. I think God wants to grow that, because I think that's when we become true Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we get the power of God working in our lives. We can actually receive increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do want everybody to take note. Like, where am I at spiritually in the beginning of this year? And I pray that by the end of this year, you look back and go, oh yeah, I've full on increased. Yeah. I have grown new levels with God.
Yeah.
And yes, new devils come with new levels. Yeah. So get ready.
Yeah.
But you're learning right now, and you're fast and you're praying. Like, no, I know how to come to the throne. I know how to break the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to teach people how to pray against those things. Like, don't let Satan take your day. Don't let him take these things. And you know, something was going on in my life just today, actually. And I literally stopped and I was like, whatever this thing is, isn't jumping on me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not jumping on me. And in the name of Jesus, I break your power. You're not going to steal this.
Yeah.
And I just like took authority over it and moved on. It didn't take hours. It took a second.
Right.
And so I think like if we could get our people to understand who they are in Christ, boy, they're going to see incredible things on earth.
And that's what the increase can be, right? Some of the increase can be measured, right? There's a metric, whether it's an account or a scale or things like you're talking about, right? And those are okay. And those are okay too, right? Those are, you know, I think about what you said, even in our generosity, the measure at which we give is the same measure in which we'll be given back.
Yeah.
And that's a biblical principle as well.
It is a biblical principle.
I think
in fact, it's so biblical that the world does it and it works for them.
Yes.
And they're not even Christians. Because it's a principle of God. It doesn't break.
Yeah. It's not contingent on who's doing it. And I think that's, I've always been fascinated by that. But even the billionaires of this world, they know generosity works for them.
It's part of their.
And when they found themselves being more tight, the tighter their life gets. And so what do? They expand it by generosity.
Yep.
Anyways, so that increase, but some of the non-metrics, right? Some of the things that maybe we won't see, but the increase in our joy, the increase in the peace that we'll have.
So good.
And I just can't help but think about the long game versus the short game, right? Yeah. There has to be, there has to be, you know, we're in a time of fasting, and I can see quickly the scale for me is going down pretty quickly.
Because you're a man. Now because I have been juicing for like weeks and not happening for me.
but the point is, I can see, and I could, we can get the immediate gratification or the immediate frustration with that quick up and down. But guess what? The fast will end.
And you're going to eat back in and out.
Yeah, I'll go back to eating. And it's ruined. And so then it just goes. And so if we go back off of these immediate metrics versus the long run, and a more, and the thing is, usually the long run is a more healthy gauge, anyways.
Right. I would want to encourage people. With the fasting, don't make it just the beginning of a year thing.
Right.
I literally fast throughout the year for different things at different times and in different ways.
It's a recent discipline I've added, I'd say, in the last couple of years where I just try to have a rhythm of fasting. Or even if it's, you know, there was a time where I'd like to do it once a week where the, you're fasting something, even if it's a meal once a week or just something where that's just part of my rhythm. And I and because what I'm doing, I'm starving the flesh. But if it's not weekly, but you just kind of introduce it into one of your disciplines.
It's a great reminder.
And I think
reminder.
We've lost the idea of spiritual disciplines.
Spiritual.
Whether it's our Bible reading and all kinds of disciplines. Mm-hmm. So anyways, those will bring increase. And it's the little things that we can find. And I know some of the excuses. What are some of the excuses that you see? Again, you work very closely with within women's ministries and within families.
Yeah.
What are some of the maybe excuses that, not to beat up on those excuses, but that can just be overcome with a shift.
Right. So for me, I was very intentional with sports. So my kids are very athletic and I want them to do something outside of the church. I'm always here. We're kind of different, you know, than others. But, and so my son started playing football. And so I told him, if you play football, you are coming to church on Wednesday nights. I don't care if you have football practice. And you are going to run home. You're going to take a shower. And even if you're late, you're going to be here. He did. Every single week. He was exhausted. Like, they worked him hard. But he made it. And he was here. He didn't miss church. He was in church twice a week. Because that was important to us. And he made it. And you know what it did for him? It brought a healthiness to the people on the team. Because when they were trying to show him pictures of, you know, naked girls or talking about smoking stuff or whatever happens, because that happens, whether we're Christian school or not. And it, by the way, it wasn't ours, but a different one. And he had something in him that was like, don't show me that, man. Like, not cool. Like, and he was able to have that strength he needed to do that. And so I didn't know what I was doing. At first I thought, well, maybe I'm being, you know, kind of mean. He's so tired. Is he even getting anything when he gets here? He's like brain dead, you know? And it was like, the word does not turn void. It does not turn void. And now, even to this day, he's now grown up and he's, you know, in school, almost going to be a realtor, and he's working for a company right now, managing a company with one of our amazing church members. And he's just, he's building his life. And he has this friend group and they have been godly, and they have been the ones that weren't, that they were trying to minister to, kind of fell off because they wouldn't keep that standard. But one just recently came back into the group and he apologized. He said, hey guys, like, I'm sorry, man. I want to start serving God again. And I know you guys are good guys. And they had a reputation that these are just who we are. We're holy. Like, we're just not going to go there. If you're going to go there, okay, but we're not going to hang out with you because we don't want that in our lives.
I love that. This is our standard. We love you regardless.
Love you.
But if you want to be.
He felt safe enough to come back into the group.
That's so good.
And that's so a testament. That's beautiful. And I thought, oh, wow, okay, I did that right. I didn't know I was doing it right in the middle of it. But I did, because I held a standard of righteousness, not just because we're pastors, but because we're Christians. And I held that. And so that it said to my kid, yeah, football's fun. It's awesome. Sure, if you want to go to college, you can get in. But reality is football's not going to save your soul. right? Like eternally, I'm responsible for what I put a priority on to you so that you see it as a priority. Mm-hmm. And not just coming to church and being brain dead, but coming to church and receiving to fill up so that you can get back out there in that world and be a witness for Christ. And so I would say sports was one, and it was hard.
Yeah.
And then there were just some sports that we just didn't do because it would take him out. He was really good soccer player. Mm-hmm. Clubs were begging us to bring him on their clubs. Right. And Sundays, they just only do everything on Sundays. And so I was like, that's not an option for us. Sorry, bud, pick something else, you know?
Good.
And that was kind of what our family had to do.
Right.
Also walking the kids as a mom through conversations. I kept the door open for them to feel safe enough to come talk to me about things.
Yeah.
And so we have some crazy conversations, and sometimes I'm freaking out inside, like, oh my gosh. But I know that, like, if I keep a straight face and I let them talk and I just ask the Holy Spirit, give me what to say, because I don't know what to say right now.
Yeah.
I'm mad or I'm annoyed with this circumstance. The Lord would just speak to me, and I would say something, and then they would come back later and go, thanks for talking to me. Like, that really helped me think through this in a different way.
Yeah.
Because they're getting the world.
Yeah.
They're getting what the school says. They're getting what people in the world would say.
Right.
But they need to have where they can come to you as a parent or come to the house of God, and they can get something different.
Mm-hmm.
They can get the God perspective on life. And so I would say that.
Right.
That's humongous for me.
Well, that's really good, because I know, you know, even in your message, and I encourage everyone to just go listen to those. I don't want to go too much into the message because you preached it. But one of the things I know that it seemed like you really honed in on was that as much as the word is increased, some of the things that will get us there requires some elimination of the things that would keep us from that. And so if you could just, you know, as we kind of close, touch on some of those things that what was the conviction behind the thought process there?
In that story, you know, here's Israel and they are in the temple worshiping other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord was just done.
Yeah.
He says, stop, get rid of this stuff. So he sends Samuel to tell them, like, if you do not cleanse yourself of these gods and the ways of these gods, I will not bless you.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't think of it that way. We're like, oh, those were back in the day.
Right.
But it is the same thing for us now. What is taking over in our life?
Mm-hmm.
What is ruling our hearts? What is ruling our thoughts? What is ruling our homes?
Mm-hmm.
What gods have we allowed in that have taken the place of the holiness of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes? It's territory that Satan is trying to steal from us.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to take from us, and we don't even know. It just slowly is happening. You know, the word, there's a scripture in the Bible that says little foxes spoil the vine.
Just creep in.
It's just little thoughts. It's little, oh, you know, compromise, little carnality, a little bit of the world. It'll be okay. I'm a good Christian. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, you just opened a door and now Satan can get in.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize we've opened doors. We need to close the doors to Satan in our life this year so that we can see the increase of heaven in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really what I believe God is wanting us to look at, to examine our lives, to examine those territories that we have not even realized.
Yeah.
You know, when I get up in the morning, I used to put on the news. Oh my gosh, it's like so depressing, right?
Yeah.
No way, man. After I've read my Bible and everything, I have my whole routine. But then I would put the news on and I realized I was up so early.
Yeah.
Everybody's waking up to the news.
Yeah.
And they're like, get me out of here. Yeah. Like, so I now I'm putting worship music on. I'm now putting on worship music and asking, hey, what is God speaking to you this morning? You know, and trying to carry those conversations in before everybody runs out the door and we don't see each other all day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I cannot give that territory to Satan. I have to keep myself in faith. I don't feel like it all the time. I don't want to have to do that all the time. But it's something, it's a discipline.
I love it because it's not something for the spiritually elite. It's not something for leaders or pastors. Everyone with the power of the Holy Spirit can identify the things in our lives that rob joy, steal joy. And those are the little flags.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, wait. That made me feel some kind of way. It's a show. It's a song.
Yeah.
It's a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. It's a friend. Like, hey, that they're a good friend. But I notice when I talk to them, it always goes this direction or this social media account does this to me. And it's just the little things that everyone can be graced and empowered to remove, identify what is going to actually bring increase.
Are we producing increase?
Oh, man,
are we producing
so
hell
mm-hmm.
in our lives?
Yeah.
And I don't want to produce that in my life. And so I'm working on it as a pastor, mm-hmm. always.
Yeah.
And I would pray that the congregation this year is going to produce increase of heaven and the kingdom of God in their lives.
You know, as a pastor, as mom in the house, you know, I know you carry the weight of the church very heavily, right? You, mm-hmm. you are in the front row cheering us on, and you are in the back room being a shoulder to cry on. That being said, what would be your hope, your prayer, your desire as we walk this thing out? Again, we'll talk about this more throughout the year, and there's other messages.
Yeah.
But just as like this kickoff of the year, Pastor Jess, thank you for being part of the conversation today with this vision. What would be the last thing you'd want to kind of leave us with as a hurrah, as a word?
I would say to anybody for this year, what do you need to do to please God more in your life? Because I think we please so many other parts to our life, people. Right. And I'm a people pleaser naturally. Mm-hmm. And so I have to, like, sometimes it's hard for me to get off of that and realize, oh my gosh, I was people pleasing and that's why I'm miserable. Because I wasn't really looking at what did God want out of that situation, even though people needed me or whatever. Mm-hmm. What does God want to do in you this year? And what do you need to do for God this year? That's my question to everybody, because in order to receive the increase, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. I've got to partner with God. He wants a relationship with us.
Yeah.
He doesn't do this alone on his own. He wants us in it with him.
Yeah.
So then, Lord, what do you need from me? And I have a few questions out there with God on different matters that I'm processing because of the people in my life and the things they're going through. I'm asking the Lord, what does that mean? How does that look for me then? When your scripture says this, what does that look like for me?
Yeah.
I ask those questions. I don't always get the answers back, but guess what? I don't stop asking. And so I put them in my journal, and then I'm like, okay, God, I'm waiting for the answer to this one.
Yeah.
And I seek his face for them, because there has to be a God answer for everything we're going through here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to do this well. And one day, hopefully, when we get to be with him and meet him face to face, we're going to hear, well done, you know, and not, I wish you would have pulled on me more. I wish you would have used the power of God in me. I wish that you would have actually taken a hold of everything that you were learning and you were hearing, but you weren't doing it.
Mm.
Because it's one thing. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will do this for me. The Holy Spirit's the only one. Yeah, yeah. But we have to take what he's asking us to do and put it into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that that's a partnership.
Yep.
You can't have a one-sided relationship with God.
He'll inspire you, give you everything you need to do it, and then we just have to walk it out. That's the walk.
That's what I want for everybody this year.
Yeah. Amen. To do it.
Yeah.
And I know that as you say that, I know that I've heard that in backroom conversations with you, right? Like, that's just like, hey, we just want them to get it.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we preach it the way we do. That's why, like, we're yelling from the
rooftops. We try to be simple enough to remember. To
get it and run with it and do it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jess.
Yeah.
We're so grateful. We're looking forward to a year of increase.
Amen.
2026.
It's going to be the best year yet.
And we're going to have you back more often this year. Is that all right?
Yeah.
We would love to have. I know whenever you're on, we always get so much feedback, and it's a blessing. So keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Like, comment, subscribe, share with somebody. See you next time.